You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to this podcast on Alzheimer's disease, hosted by Med Learning Group. This podcast is one in a series of five aimed to educate clinicians and caregivers about a variety of treatment aspects of Alzheimer's disease. In this podcast, we'll be discussing several aspects of caregiver support with Courtney Ranger of the Alzheimer's Association. My name is Chris, and I'll be the host of today's podcast. So I'd like to welcome Courtney to our discussion. Courtney is Director of Programs and Services for the Dallas and Northeast Texas chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Through this role, she works with organizations and individuals to provide education and support programs for both caregivers and people with dementia, as well as the general public. Courtney, I appreciate you joining us today to talk about Alzheimer's disease and dementia.
Thanks, Chris. I'm happy to be here today.
So let's just begin with you. Briefly explain who you are and what you do within your role at the Alzheimer's Association.
Sure. My team and I are responsible for delivering support and educational services to constituents in our 34-county service area. Those services include caregiver support groups and educational sessions that for caregivers and for the general public, and include topics like caregiving strategies, risk reduction, and general awareness about Alzheimer's and dementia. Our goal is to reach people in their own communities and make support and education accessible to improve health outcomes and raise awareness of the disease. We work closely with community partners, including physicians and other healthcare professionals, to support their patients and the community at large. You can usually find my team and I out in the community working directly with the people we serve so we can provide resources in the ways that suit each community.
Well, thanks for doing what you do. It's an important part of managing Alzheimer's disease on a day-to-day basis, managing patients and caregivers and that sort of thing, kind of bring everything together. Now, the Alzheimer's Association is a recognized leader in Alzheimer's disease and all other types of dementia. So how does the association work with clinicians, provider groups, and health systems to guide their way to the right resources for their patients?
Our work in this area is really exciting. We develop partnerships with national, regional, and local health systems, physicians, and other healthcare professionals. We have four goals for our work in this area. Our first goal is to improve health outcomes by more consistently providing a timely and accurate diagnosis and improve compliance and prevent complications related to treatment. Second, we aim to enhance the patient experience through clear communication that provides well-educated answers and well-planned next steps so that individuals and their families can access care services, make future financial plans, and even participate in clinical trials. Our third goal is to reduce burden on clinicians, which we address by providing training, resources, and support to deliver a difficult diagnosis and provide follow-up care through an interdisciplinary approach. And finally, we hope to more effectively manage the cost of care. Our 2024 Facts and Figures report told us that health and long-term care costs for people living with dementia are projected to reach $360 billion in 2024 and nearly $1 trillion by 2050. When patients are diagnosed with dementia earlier in the disease process, treatment can be modified with knowledge of a patient's cognitive impairment, resulting in more cost-effective management and improved patient adherence, potentially preventing or reducing unnecessary hospitalizations and emergency department visits.
So one of the things you mentioned in there was the burden on clinicians. Now, with Alzheimer's disease and other dementias, there are often a lot of clinicians and other caregivers involved. So describe the kind of the team-based approach for Alzheimer's and related dementias. Where does Alzheimer's Association fit in with this, this comprehensive team-based care?
Sure. So dementia care is a complex maze, and navigating this maze is difficult and also often extremely frustrating. 70% of dementia caregivers report that coordinating care is stressful, and two-thirds have difficulty finding resources. So without this clear path forward, any roadblock or detour along the way can have major implications, like delayed detection, diagnosis, and treatment of early-stage cognitive issues or mild cognitive impairment. For caregivers, a detour could cause them to miss educational opportunities, connections with community-based resources for respite and behavioral health support, or leave them unable to locate resources that could help them reduce their stress. Breakdowns in the transition of care between healthcare providers and settings limit high quality, comprehensive, and/or appropriate dementia care, as evidenced by an increase in emergency department visits and hospitalizations, and even decreased quality of life. Case managers and care planners can provide assistance in navigating this maze and help with preventing these outcomes, but specialized training is essential given the complexity of care. So for those with a relatively straightforward diagnosis and management issues, the care team might include a PCP, a nurse, or a social worker, in addition to community resources. Things like our services, but also services available through area agencies on aging, support with visiting home health aides, and day programs, just to name a few. Now, patients who have a complex diagnostic and management issues can involve a large number of specialists, including neurologists or geriatric psychiatrists, neuropsychologists, psychotherapists, speech language pathology, occupational and physical therapy, and genetic counseling, in addition to others. Ideally, this workflow is managed through EHR or interoffice messaging to exchange information so that it becomes part of each practice's medical record. So where do we fit in all of this? We provide education to caregivers and medical and healthcare professionals, but we've also sought to do more to increase access to care management. Recently, the Alzheimer's Association and the Alzheimer's Impact Movement, or AIM, which is a separately incorporated advocacy affiliate of the Alzheimer's Association, championed legislation to help unravel this healthcare maze. The effort resulted in the Bipartisan Comprehensive Care for Alzheimer's Act, which proposed a new approach to dementia care management, covering care coordination and navigation, caregiver education and support, and alternative payment models for physician reimbursement. In July 2023, CMS announced the introduction of the Guiding and Improved Dementia Experience Model, or GUIDE. This new model represents a pivotal opportunity to help reshape and enhance dementia care.
So there's truly a lot of people involved in the care of these patients. With you right now, I wanted to drill a little bit more into the caregivers. And by that, I mean people who are with these patients on a day-to-day basis, wives, husbands, family members, friends. So when do you communicate with these individuals and what do you provide to them as the caregivers for these patients with dementia and Alzheimer's disease?
Well, ideally, we're communicating with them along every step of the way. Supporting caregivers is a huge part of the work that we do with the Alzheimer's Association, and I could spend hours talking about just that. In our 2024 Facts and Figures report, we found that there are over 11 million Americans providing unpaid care for people with Alzheimer's or other dementias. We also found that caregivers are prone to depression, grief, fatigue, and social and relational problems. And it's even been found that caregiver stress is related to premature institutionalization. We aim to communicate with these caregivers as early as possible, and we have a few different ways to support them. First up are our support groups, which are led by trained facilitators who are often current or former caregivers themselves and are held in comfortable community settings like churches or community centers, as well as virtual settings. These support groups provide a safe space for caregivers to connect and share experiences while also learning about local resources and support. As I mentioned before, we also provide caregiver education, like our new series called The Empowered Caregiver. This series focuses on helping caregivers build skills like communication and managing dementia-related behaviors, as well as building a strong support network of friends, family, and other community resources to help them throughout their caregiving journey. It's a person-centered approach and was developed with the input of caregivers. In addition to the Empowered Caregiver, we also have extensive resources available online for free 24/7 at alz.org/caregiving. Our website is also home to tools like ALZ Navigator, which helps users create plans for the future, including their financial and other needs. And finally, and most importantly, we have a 24/7 hotline available at 1-800-272-3900, which is staffed by master's level clinicians and available in over 200 languages. and it's an absolutely critical resource for the community. Whether they have questions about the disease, would like to connect to our programs, or need assistance identifying other community resources.
Well, thanks for all of that information and hotlines and everything. One topic I also wanted to discuss was shared decision making. So in dementia-related conditions, there are a lot of different aspects of care, such as managing day-to-day activities, prevention of cognitive decline, end-of-life planning, et cetera, et cetera. So at each step, making decisions together with patients and their caregivers should be one of the top priorities, I would think. So how do you define shared decision-making, and why is it important for patients with Alzheimer's disease?
So shared decision-making occurs when a healthcare provider and a patient work together to make a healthcare decision that's best for the patients. Ideally, it'll include evidence-based information about available options, the provider's knowledge and expertise, and the patient's values and preferences. Well, out in the community, I can say that I've seen quite a bit of fear around Alzheimer's and dementia. And I think bringing the patient into that decision-making process early and giving them a say and allow them the chance to express their preferences and values and opinions is essential for helping them maintain a sense of control and dignity when so many other parts of their life may seem out of their own control. In practice, shared decision-making begins with inviting the patient and the care partner to participate, and then presenting options and providing information on benefits and risks. Next, patients and care partners should receive assistance in evaluating their options based on their goals and concerns. The provider should facilitate deliberation and decision-making and assist patients and care partners to follow through on their decision.
So just a couple more questions for you. This podcast in particular is part of a much larger educational offering that we do every year. That includes live and online CME programs, a website we've designed, videos, a bunch of other pieces. So we constantly mention the Alzheimer's Association in our programs. What are some of the ways, I know you mentioned telephone numbers and websites and that sort of thing. What are some of the ways that clinicians and institutions can take it upon themselves to more frequently connect with the Alzheimer's Association and use your services?
Absolutely. So we have a ton of great resources online, including clinical resources for dementia care, information about assessment and care planning services now available for reimbursement, and CME activities, in addition to some really exciting talks on research updates. We love partnering with health systems, and there are so many ways that we can work together to help you improve care and support for your patients and their caregivers. To engage, you can reach out to a local chapter or call our helpline to be connected with a member of our health systems team. You can locate your local chapter at alz.org, and you can reach our helpline again at 1-800-272-3900. One of the things that we love doing through our local chapter is working together with a provider or a health system to provide caregiver education for their patients and caregivers. I think it's a really exciting way for us to come in and engage with patients and their caregivers while also supporting those health systems and providers. But the possibilities are really endless, and we pride ourselves in working closely with health systems and providers to create partnerships that meet the unique needs of each provider and their patient population.
Well, that's great. I feel like a lot of clinicians don't realize that the Alzheimer's Association can truly be a partner in helping to manage these patients, and they're not fully taking advantage of the services that you offer. So that's excellent. So let's finish up this podcast with just a few concluding remarks. If you had to tell just one or two things about managing Alzheimer's disease, maybe the most important things to you, what would they be?
I think first and foremost, I would ensure that your patients and caregivers have access to resources. They can be connected to us by calling our helpline again at 1-800-272-3900. It's really the easiest way for the community to connect with us and learn about resources and services that they need most. Very often our chapters are also able to connect you to resources outside of our own offerings because it's what suits the needs of the patient best. So we're not gonna come in and just offer you what we have. We really like to try to take an opportunity to educate folks on all of the different resources that are available to the community. But Most importantly, I would remember to keep the patient and their care partner at the center of everything. This disease touches people in such a deeply personal way, and leaving room for the patient and the caregiver to participate and voice their opinions, their concerns, and even their fears can go so far in helping them to feel heard, respected, and cared for.
Well, thank you very much, Courtney. This has been an excellent discussion on some of the challenges that patients and their caregivers face when managing Alzheimer's disease and other types of dementia. And thank you for your perspectives on the Alzheimer's Association as well, who's, as I mentioned, just truly a partner in helping to have the best outcomes for these patients. But that's it for now. Thank you to all of our listeners for joining us today. As a reminder, MedLearning Group offers many types of CME programs across a variety of disease states, including several neurology topics. We also have other podcasts in this series involving other speakers from neurology, primary care, and the Alzheimer's Association, other caregivers as well. I invite you to explore these for further education on Alzheimer's disease. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. The CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I'd like to give a special thank you to our grant supporter as well, Lily, who provided an educational grant for this activity. Thank you very much and have a great day.